From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. A strange story we are following right now. Bill Gertz in the Washington Times will report it in the Wednesday morning paper. And Matt Drudge, DrudgeReport.com, is following the story as well. Apparently a laser has injured a Delta pilot's eye, some kind of a beam right into the cockpit sometime over Utah. This is a developing story. If I get any more information tonight, I'll pass that on. But apparently it's a story that Bill Gertz from the Washington Times has been working on, and Matt Drudge is following it as well. But first, another very sad story for us to report here on Coast to Coast. Dr. John Mack is dead. The Harvard professor and psychiatrist John Mack was hit by a car and killed in London on Monday night, apparently by a drunk driver. After meeting UFO researcher Bud Hopkins in Cape Cod, where both of them spent the summers some time ago, John Mack became intrigued by people who claimed to have had UFO abductions. He professionally analyzed many of these people and found them to be sane and mentally stable, and thus became one of the first scientists to take alien abductions seriously. His courage in risking his career by acknowledging the validity of UFOs was highly valued. He will be missed by everyone here at Coast to Coast AM, and I'm sure by you as well, as another tragic death of someone. Of course, many months ago, Dr. Eugene Malov died when he was murdered. In this particular case, police are not suspecting any conspiracy or foul play. They are simply saying that this very tragic accident took the life of Dr. John Mack. Next week, Dr. John Mack would have been 75 years old. In April 2001, Art Bell had an opportunity to talk with John Mack. Here is an excerpt of that interview.
We were talking about Americans and whether they would accept the concept of a radical change. Scientists all the time are saying, well, we thought we knew, but now we think. We're hearing that all the time. So it could change, and metaphysics and science could come together, and there could be a whole new reality. But, you know, it's a lot like the Brookings Institution study of what would happen if we were confronted suddenly with the presence of aliens, and what would happen from a societal point of view, it could be very, very disturbing, or at least that's what they concluded then. Has that changed?
It depends how you ask the questions. I mean, if you ask people, do they want to know, do they wish to have facts covered up that are known by scientists or by government officials, people are much more likely to say, we want to know. If you say, would you be alarmed if aliens showed up here, there, and the other place, they might be alarmed. I mean, first of all, as far as I can tell, the aliens, with all the, and not every encounter is a pleasant one. People have very traumatic encounters sometimes for all kinds of reasons. However, everything I've ever seen, heard, whatever, people I work with, there is not as much harm in the entire experience I have with this encounter phenomenon as we do to each other in a single day.
Hear, hear.
So there is not any suggestion that these are the films like Independence Day notwithstanding, there is not a shred of evidence that these beings wish to do us harm. The worst that could be said is what Dave Jacobs said, which is that they are changing our nature in some way, that they are cohabitating with us in such a way that we are being transformed. But as far as I could tell, that could only be for the better.
Well, Dr. Jacobs did, however, allow for the fact they may not be friendly.
That's what I'm saying. In other words, that they may not be friendly. But, I mean, I think his position is rather extreme in that respect. And I don't say whether they're good guys or bad guys. I don't see it that way. Some of the experiences are traumatic and some are transformative in a positive way. It depends a lot on the consciousness of the person having the experience. In any event, the fact is that something's going on here, mm-hmm. and it's not malevolent in the way we are when we make war upon each other or upon the environment. And I can't see that, and I think people, if prepared appropriately or just simply told this is what's going on, they kind of know it anyway, you know, and if it was presented in a truthful, honest, balanced way, I think the people are much, much more ready for this than the alarmists would have us think.
Dr. John Mack, dead, age of 74, would be 75 next week, walking in the streets of London, hit by a drunk driver last night. Sad, sad, sad. As a very special tribute to Professor Mack, we're going to make this entire interview available to you for the next 24 hours. It's on the coasttocoastam.com website. Lex has it posted there for you, a couple features there for you to download it for the next 24 hours at no cost to you. This entire interview of Art Bell along with Professor John Mack. In a moment, a man who knew him well, Bud Hopkins, on Coast to Coast AM. Bud Hopkins is a world-renowned author, pioneer UFO abduction researcher, having investigated well over 700 cases, and he now heads the Intruders Foundation, which is a not-for-profit scientific research and support organization. Bud has pioneered and continues to lead the investigation into the most controversial aspects of the UFO phenomenon, the systematic abduction of human beings by UFO occupants. As the world's premier expert on this issue, he has worked with more than 1,000 people who have reported abduction experiences over the past 20 years. Hopkins' goal has always been to bring an objective, dispassionate scientific intelligence to bear on the UFO abduction phenomenon, and he is our guest for a moment here on Coast to Coast. Sad moment to bring you aboard here, Bud, but I knew how close that John Mack was to you and you to him. So my condolences on behalf of everyone here at Coast to Coast on this very tragic episode.
Well, I think it's a major loss, both on a personal level and for the field, because John was an extremely eloquent spokesman for the reality of the problem, the issue, the abduction phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon, and a man of great intelligence and an enormous personal warmth. He's going to be really sorely missed by me, especially as a friend.
What energy he possessed, Bud. I did not know he was almost 75 years old.
Yep. He, one other interesting little thing, that the fact is that John and I both attended Oberlin College. He graduated 2 years ahead of me. I just turned 73 myself. And so we were, although we didn't know each other at Oberlin, we didn't meet until 1990, and that's when a colleague of John's brought him to my studio in New York, and I began to show him some of the material about that abductees had presented to me in some of the cases, and he became immediately fascinated. And this is, of course, one of the great strengths of John's, that he was open-minded and curious. Every scientist should be all of the time. It should be kind of definition of a scientist, that he or she is open-minded and curious about, especially things that might be extremely important, new areas of knowledge. And John picked up on it instantly and went straight into it and never left it, and made some wonderful contributions in his books and in his working with so many people. But I just think that in, you know, his loss is such a sudden shock. I mean, there was no sign of illness or of slowing down of his energy, as you mentioned. He had just given a talk at a conference in, I believe, Oxford, and had come back to London and had gone to dinner with friends and taken the tube back to his hotel or where he was staying, and he got out and evidently stepped off the curb in a crosswalk area and was instantly hit and apparently almost instantly killed.
I just don't know what to say, too. You know, I've continued to monitor the work of you, of course, Bud, and John Mack. And you know, you're one of the pioneers here for this entire phenomenon of UFO abductions. But John Mack was a scientist, a doctor, who decided also to get involved. And, you know, a Harvard professor. And when I saw those credentials involved in the study that you were undertaking years ago, I began to say, you know, finally, with people like Hopkins and Mack, maybe, just maybe, we'll get not only mainstream media to wake up, but maybe we'll really get to the bottom of this. And that's what's so sad about this. We're losing, and you're losing, a great arm and a great ally here.
That's right. And John, as I mentioned, as part of his just sparkling personality, had a great sense of humor. And at an early conference when John, on the abduction phenomenon, when John had first become involved, he described himself with a sort of a shrug looking around the room. He said, "I guess I'm currently the highest ranking prisoner of war in this whole field," meaning that he was the highest ranking in terms of credentials, individual who had left the conventional field of psychiatry and ventured out into this much more difficult and complex and looked down upon field, unfortunately, by the profession as UFO research. So he understood the risk he was taking, and he had serious problems at Harvard, and as many of us know, as a result of this.
Oh, no doubt. I'm told by some law enforcement officials that they have arrested someone in this case, and indeed this person was quite inebriated while he was driving his car.
Yeah. That's a horrible thing. I spoke today at length to a very, very good friend of John's and of mine, the psychohistorian Robert J. Lifton, and who's I'm currently speaking from my studio in Wellfleet and on Cape Cod, which is where Dr. Lifton stays. And he said that his last communication with John, which was just a few weeks ago, John was talking about how when he gets worried about a subject or an issue, he plunges in, and he said that John had become increasingly worried about the direction of the government and had voluntarily gone to Maine. This was his last activity, apparently, in the United States, to work trying to register voters, poor, underprivileged people who had never had a chance to, for lots of reasons, to actually get to the polls and to vote. And John was going door to door working with people. Now, this is a man, as you said, almost 75, who is a man of great importance at his university and so forth, but going to Maine to enroll voters, hoping to change the regime here in the United States.
But I'm sorry.
Just one sign of his leaping into a cause which he found to be of extraordinary importance.
Do you know if he was working on another book or anything like that, perhaps?
Yes, George. And he and I had talked about this. I had spent time with him at the beginning of August at a meeting in Newport. And John was working on a book having to do, and this is in a strange way, it's an enormous irony, having to do with evidence suggesting the survival of consciousness after death, having nothing to do with the UFO field,
right.
But this was another area that had engaged his interest, and he was spending a great deal of time on this subject.
Like Harry Houdini, who also was really interested in that field, I wonder if John will ever come back to us in some form or fashion. You know?
Well, we can certainly hope.
Absolutely. You know, but here at Coast to Coast, we have now lost another dear friend, of course, with the passing of John Mack, and several months ago with Dr. Eugene Malov, who was murdered in this particular case, in a case that is still not solved.
No.
In both of them, in their own way of pioneering, you know, Dr. Malov in his alternative energy, cold fusion, John Mack, of course, in the field that you have spent so much time in, just trying to unravel this UFO abduction phenomenon. Very, very sad, and also very strange to lose two good people who are really at the forefront of things that nobody else really touches.
Well, it's a friend of mine used to say with irony that if Mother Nature, meaning the fates, that if Mother Nature were a politician, she'd never be reelected. Meaning that life seems to be arranged in such a way that so many things like this occur that are totally unfortunate. People taken long before their time, or people taken in their prime by crazy accidents. It's, you know, George, one of the reasons that I think the conspiracists, the people who develop and weave these vast conspiracy theories that are so fanciful so often, why they flourish is because we find it almost impossible when we lose someone to accept a mundane accident. For instance,
yes.
The analogy with John's death is a little bit like the death of, in England, of course, of Princess Diana. And it has been, there have been so many theories about the fact that she was, must have been killed or murdered or something like that, for the basic reason that one does not, when one suffers such a loss as the people of England did for this very beloved woman, they could not accept such a mundane explanation as a drunk driver. In that particular case, too. In this case, the driver of her own car. We just don't want to think if that something that stupid and that absurd and that ridiculous can take from us someone who is so cherished and so valued. So we have to invent something larger. It has to have been some major plot or something, simply to feel better about the loss.
Yeah, that's true. And then we begin to think, what was he working on? Was it something that, you know, someone else found out about? And,
yeah.
And you're right, Buck. Are you going to be okay?
Oh, of course. We'll all be okay. This is, John was a dear friend. The loss that I remember suffering so strongly years ago was that of Alan Hynek in the field, J. Alan Hynek, who
yes.
was a wonderful man, and I regarded him as a friend, a dear friend, and that loss was enormous, but one has to just plunge on and do the work. I've had a long conversation today with David Jacobs, my other close friend, about this subject in the death of John, and Dave and John were friends, and how it's, in a strange way, more responsibilities fall on our shoulders
than is
because the work that was being shared, say, by the three of us is now has to be shared by two.
Absolutely. Bud, thank you so much, and again, our deepest condolences on the death of your friend, John Mack. Thank you, Bud.
Thank you, John.
Bud Hopkins in his own right, a great man. John Mack, dead, age of 74 years old, hit by a drunk driver while he was crossing a street in London last night. Would have been 75 years old next week. On Friday, during our Friday night program. I will also run 1 hour of Art's interview with John Mack, which occurred in April of 2001. I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Sky as we look in the sky for Tutatis. We'll be right back.